mission for social justice and human rights and a peaceful planet. And we won't back down. This is 102.3 WHIVLP New Orleans, community radio for the city of New Orleans and all points beyond.
Hey, this is Taylor from Givers, and you're listening to 102.3 WHIV LP New Orleans.
Comedian, I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
Look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the pads are all crooked-y. I can show you how to do-si-do. I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem. I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book, and guess how long it took. I can do anything that I want, cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive in such a small world. I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
No handlebars, no handlebars. Are you listening to Outspoken, my show about all aspects of cycling here on WHIV 102.3, and you're listening to Flowbots with their song Handlebars. So yeah, Outspoken, a show about all aspects of cycling. I want to see more butts on bikes here on WHIV LP 102.3 or around the world at WHIVFM.org. We are programming dedicated to human rights, social justice, and public health. My name is Janneke Fietsenkanekwal. I got Vlad in the studio. Welcome.
Hi, Janneke.
For people listening in, they do know that I run into people on the street and I say, come over, talk about bikes and stuff. So the reason I saw you last weekend and you ended up carrying a cooler bag, both in the front and in the back. And I was like, that's cool. You want to come on the radio? I'm like, sure.
It seemed very impromptu to me.
Right. Well, I really appreciate it. How do you manage that in the heat?
Conditioning. And I like how it gets easier as we go from winter to spring to summer. So it's like an inflection point.
Right.
And then once you make it through the summer, you get
October is not even that bad anymore.
Oh, my God. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of, like, say, September, August, you promise yourself you're never going to do it again. And then, but you're going to clear it, And then once you hit October and Halloween season, you're like, oh my God, this feels awesome. I love my life. No problem.
Yeah. And so you do strictly deliveries on your bicycle then?
I do strictly deliveries for one company only. I work for Jimmy John's.
Right.
There's plenty of people out there doing DoorDash and Uber Eats, contract work. I've been with Jimmy John's since 2017.
Wow.
So this April 1st, April Fool's, will make it 9 years.
Wow. So I'm assuming that you do a lot of lunch orders for people working from home or working from their offices and stuff like that. Students studying or...
Yeah, so I work at several locations. Jimmy John's has a couple of models. They have car delivery and moped and stuff, you know, like motorized.
Uh-huh.
And then they also have bicycle, which now also includes, as we can talk later, electric assist bicycles.
Right.
So some stores are hybrid. They let the drivers choose, and some drivers will even bring their car and their bike. Even though I have a vehicle, I do bicycle only, and I do pedal bicycle unassisted only.
Right.
And I do it Maple Street uptown, but I also do downtown Poydras Street.
Right.
And so those are different clientele. But yes, daytime, it's going to be students, businesses in the uptown area.
Right.
Downtown on Poydras, it's a lot of office buildings, a surprisingly large amount of legal offices, accounting, but like over 50% law firms.
Right. So I've always, so now this is episode 429. I've been at this for a bit. And so 10 years ago, I was like, I need to get some material for this, my show. I am going to interview. So I ended up going into the Jimmy John's downtown, and I was looking for the file. I can't find it. It's probably somewhere. I apologize. But I asked the guy that was working there, like, what was his concern for so many Jimmy John's cyclists just going on the sidewalk, going against traffic, like, you know. And from the same token, the people that are ordering lunches, if people are then delivering them, same thing with Uber Eats, like being distracted and driving or trying to get there as fast and ignoring the rules of the road and not participating in traffic as a system, but more as a game or as a means to a goal, then, you know, is somebody responsible when you then get involved in a crash, right? And so he was like, I don't care. We don't care.
Do you think you were talking to a delivery driver or maybe the manager?
No, I think it was a manager. Yeah. And he was like, you know, well, if people run into problems or cause a crash, he didn't seem to be concerned at all about. And now I see so many drivers. So I'm glad that, you know, they're promoting delivery by bicycle, because I see so many people driving, being distracted, having to deliver, not knowing where the location is, and then riding and driving and being distracted.
Yeah, on the bicycle, it's its own set of issues, like you talked about earlier. Are you on the sidewalk? Are you on the wrong way going down a one-way street, but salmoning up? Are you not stopping at a red light or a stop? I mean, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, slippery slope.
I mean, right. If you were to follow all the street rules as a vehicle.
Right. Yeah, we'll be at more risk, right? Like, and people only driving don't get it. But if the light is changing, I might not wait for it to become green. I'm going to wait for the other traffic to stop because I want to have momentum before they come by in case of me being more wobbly when I don't have a lot of speed.
Are you always on a bicycle too?
Most of the time.
May I ask how much of bicycle commuting do you do versus car?
Well, so it's kind of shifting. I used to do 3 days a week by bicycle and 2 days by car. And but I am driving quite a bit. But I'm from the Netherlands, and so I grew up on the bicycle. So I would say I have commuted most of the time. Like, I've done the airline traffic circle, and mm-hmm. I have done been on my bike on Clearview, not the UAP long, but... So I agree that there are certain rules that need to be considered from a different point of view. And I understand that a lot of people driving cars are upset when they see that. But I do think there is, you know, use the stop as a yield versus blow through it immediately, right? There's a two different kind of cyclists out there. And I do think there's cyclists out there that seem to not care about themselves. They seem to have no self-respect. And I wish that that wasn't the case, so that when
they're not helping everyone.
Exactly. Because if a case comes to court, now you have the public opinion that, you know, I would be better as a cyclist, or the cyclist should go better, be better. And we're always seen as a negative addition to things.
I've been with the company long enough. I do know from the senior management standpoint, there are some standards.
Okay, good.
So it's not a complete free-for-all.
Yeah.
So the first standard is we're required to always wear a helmet.
Okay.
And we do not always maybe wear a helmet.
Okay.
But we are obligated by our own managers.
Yeah.
And we do get fussed at, and it is reasons for dismissal if we ignore that rule. We are also expected to not be obviously reckless and obviously breaking all of the road rules.
Right.
That's not to say we're expected to follow them.
Stop
at the stop. No. You know, but if a delivery driver who works for the company is constantly getting complaints from road, you know, people, sometimes people, if it's bad enough, a driver will literally stop and come to the store and say, I saw one of your cyclists do A, B, or C.
Right.
Obviously, if there's any kind of accident, God forbid. So if there's a pattern of behavior, those people get let go.
Yeah.
Because the company is on the hook. It is a large corporation. It is national. Anything that happens on the job, we are covered with, you know, workers' comp and injury protection. God forbid you need to go to a hospital.
Yeah.
But with that comes the liability that if you're a liability for the company, you're not going to have a job.
Yeah. And so, you know what? I think that's good. The same thing that, you know, my concern is with people riding like rideshare, to saying who is making sure that they have the qualifications to be a safe driver or a safe participant. And
is this even with people or with like delivery services, like Uber Eats versus
Uber? I would probably say all people. I'm not really sure. I would say the people where you can get in the car and as a driver you don't have to exit, and you can just sit there, you don't have to walk or climb stairs. So if you maybe have difficulty where walking is a little bit difficult because you may be, you know, having some kind of problem or something. And I'm wondering about reaction times from people and the destructibility. Because in New Orleans, we have a lot of people that don't seem to be able to drive. And I think it's a poor combination of the situation. Now, you know, yes, you have the engineering that's off in the different places. There's a lot of different reasons why I think traffic is unsafe for a lot of people. But I would like to get for people to be a little bit more responsible and taking some kind of active attitude. And the only way I think you can do that is to promote and do it yourself.
Through communication or by being an example, you mean?
Yeah, well, I do it by being an example and by talking about it. But yeah, sure. You know, I think that people should see, I try to be friendly and considerate, you know.
That's a major rule of mine as well. I think being courteous and letting things slide without getting into road rage or anger, even if people say something to you, just take it in stride.
Right.
They may be right. Maybe you are cutting some corners. And so don't be defensive. Sometimes you're doing things optimally. You're on the right side of the road. You're in the bike lane. You're giving drivers even plenty of space. They're the ones supposed to be giving you, you know, meters or so.
Right.
You are giving them all the road space and you're close to parked cars. And sometimes people still give you some attitude. And my suggestion is always control your response. And just being courteous, goes a long way, de-escalating any kind of road misunderstanding, let's just say, goes a long way. So my, I guess what I do is maybe example, because I, this for myself, I feel like the in a road situation, the most exposed people are the cyclists, not even the pedestrians. I feel like the people in the cars are the most protected, usually, and the people on foot are usually very carefree, with earphones in, not paying attention. But the traffic laws really go out of their way to protect those people, God forbid, if there's any kind of accident. I think the people that are in the middle are the cyclists. They're in the gray area, and they have to always be cognizant of the pedestrians and other cyclists and the vehicles, and they have to be the most defensive. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, you need to kind of have to assume that everybody that you are encountering is not really sure what they're doing.
Right.
You know,
I always look at drivers.
Right. I mean, sometimes it's difficult when, especially when you encounter a distracted driver, where you realize that if you had left a few seconds earlier, you would have gotten hit because you would have been in the wrong space.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of scary. And I understand that there's people that are saying, oh, because of that, we got to go right against traffic, you know, so I know what's coming. But statistically speaking, you are still safer when you behave as traffic as what you're not. So you're saying some people you're doing, you know, like even talking with me, you're super calm. I could see where you're maybe not so rattled, because if I'm going to almost get run over, I need to make sure that I'm not yelling at that person. I know I need to take a picture of the license plate. I need to maybe get the phone number of the person that saw everything that went down. I'm going to, you know, follow up on things. But sometimes I'm going to be flipping off my finger. I'm trying really hard. I'm encouraging anybody that sees me biking to honk at me, because it's my New Year's resolution to not flip people off, but wave instead. And so I need
more. So you want to be provoked.
I'm hoping to be, you know, when people see me, right? Now, a lot of people say, I saw you, but I'm not honking because I don't want you to yell at me thinking that I don't like you or something like that. And I'm like, no, you should honk, because I feel like, oh, that gives me an opportunity to wave. This is so great. But I could see, you know, there's a lot of people that are frustrated because they think they're in the car, they got stuck, and they're maybe jealous of the sense of freedom that they assume you have being on the bike. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that sometimes their frustration is with you. I think it is, or with a cyclist, it's maybe more of an expression of the state of mind where they have found themselves in the rat race.
It doesn't help if I'm slowing them down, though, like if I'm in front of them, or if they have to yield to me, for example. So, but I do have some suggestions.
Okay, well, let's wait with the suggestions, because I am so happy that you guys are all tuned in. This is Outspoken. I'm hoping to get more butts on bikes. So I thought I'll start a radio show to talk about all things cycling here on WHIV. And we are supported in part by Offbeat Magazine at offbeat.com. And I thought I was going to share with you the band beat for today. It is March 24th. If you head out now at 7:30, you can catch the Preservation All-Stars at the Preservation Hall, while Don Vappy Jazz Creole is happening at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro at 7:30. Then at 8 o'clock at the Bayou Bar at the Punch Drain Hotel, you can find Double Bird featuring Peter Harris, Ashlyn Parker, Victor Atkins, and Nigel Anderson on the stage. Fritzl's All-Star Band with Jamil Sharif It will be on the stage at Fritzl's European Jazz Club at 8, while the Paradise Jazz Band is at the Maison Restaurant and Music Club at 8. At 8:30 at Das Hefes, Tom Hook can be found, and the Preservation All-Stars are going to continue at the Preservation Hall at 8:45. Brucey's button-up open mic is happening at the BJ's in the lounge in the Bywater starting at 9, while at 9, Higher Heights will be on stage at 30 by 90. Mambulas is hosting KDB and the Hand-Me-Downs at 9, Well, Don Vappy Jazz Trio is going to continue at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro at 9:30, and Double Purred featuring Peter Harris, Ashton Parker, Victor Atkins, and Nigel Anderson are going to continue at the Bayou Bar at the Pontchartrain Hotel at 10. That, my friends, was your band beat for tonight. More information, including content, original videos, and photos, can be found at offbeat.com. Now, I got Vlad in the studio here with me. I ran into him the other day when he was delivering. He had the delivery bag on the back, the delivery bag in the front, not on an electric bike. I was on an electric bike. I want to talk more with you. You have some great suggestions on how to deal with frustrated person. But I wanted to play this song by Michael Payne. I think he was maybe some kind of delivery person. And he's kind of singing about his madness riding around. So I'm going to... Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll listen to that and we'll get back here. Live in studio in New Orleans, y'all. Outspoken on WHIV LP New Orleans. Let's see if we can make this happen. There we go.
I've been framed, I'm in the bike game. I'm Michael Payne. Catch me racing through the city, causing havoc in the cycle lane. I ride a silver charge, plug 10, and I'm a madman. Mum says wear a helmet or I'm gonna need a CAT scan. Speeding is my speciality, I tend to get it right. Popping up on my pedals like, what the fuck's a red light? Everyone in London knows Michael Payne's name, cause I zip across the junctions like I'm YKK. Hey, they shout mad abuse at me and pick their wing mirrors up. Ain't lost my mind, I've given it up. I'm a wild Dixie punk, and even if I hit the ground too, I'm frankly nasty. Tonight, Matthew, I plan to be kamikaze. I won't deny it, I'm a Nazi rider. If you wanna roll with me, bring your bike and your helmet, cause I can't help it, I can't control my speed. I won't deny it, I'm a Nazi rider. If you wanna roll with me, bring your bike and your helmet, cause I can't help it, I can't control my speed. You can handle bars, let down your mud guard and let me in. I'm just trying to pedal shit, but I'm not selling anything. I crash, but then I'm back on the rider's seat before my wounds heal. Foolish fake MCs run out of gas, I keep it two wheel. I'm a different kind of street and that's just how I talk. So why mention a knife when I can brag about my fork? I don't wanna derail ya, throw you off the track. I keep my flow just like my chain, bruh. There's no room for the slack. There's no feeling like you get from this, I've really got a habit. The irony of a high MC that's in the bottom bracket. I'm not sure where the passion stems from, but I know this is the best. Yet I'm fully ride or die, from my toe clips to my headset.
I won't deny it, I'm a Nazi rider. If you wanna roll with me, bring your bike and your helmet, cause I can't help it, I can't control my speed. I won't deny it, I'm a Nazi rider. If you wanna roll with me, bring your bike and your helmet, cause I can't help it, I can't control my speed. I wanna ride with you, ride with you. So I'm gonna see a sign inside of you. And don't be cranky, cause I know that we'll be great.
That was Michael Payne with Nasty Rider. So we were just talking about that you're not a nasty rider, you're being very respectful, and you had some suggestions. So Vlad, I'm so glad that you're here sharing your experiences with me. Tell me about those suggestions.
So this is stuff that I've kind of come up with on my own.
Okay.
But as I speak to other riders at the store, at Jimmy John's, can't speak for people who do contract work, but people I work with, most of them have also taken some of these tips on their own without you know, because we don't everybody respects everybody's sense of safety and responsibility,
right.
And we've all been doing it for years, but we all come upon some tips that work and that are, I'm not going to say universal, but they're common. So aside from, you know, there's the obvious rules of the road, like we talked about, and the obvious safety things you need to be doing, like wearing a helmet, being polite. But the less obvious things is, as we touched on briefly, always know the state of drivers around you, particularly those that are going to be coming up in front of you, like taking a turn, maybe cutting you off. Maybe somebody's going to be opening a door. This is a very common myth. Everyone is always scared that as you ride in the bike lane, as there is a curbside parking, literally every one of those cars can open their driver's side door, in theory. So I always try to look for signs. I look at the car. I always try to make eye contact with the driver. My personal feeling is that the vehicle is like a tank, like a shell, of like an armadillo, and the driver inside is the brain. Like I see the vehicle as a living entity, and the driver inside like a pilot of a mech, but like a creature inside a creature.
Okay.
So I don't look at the car first. I look at the driver first. And it's either going to be through their window or through their mirror. So as we're talking about coming up and making sure you're not going to be doored with somebody opening their driver's side door, if you can see a driver in their side view mirror, that means they in theory see you as well.
Right.
And if you see their face and they're not looking at the mirror, if they're not looking at you, but you're looking at them and they're distracted, that is still extremely helpful.
Yes, it's very helpful.
So one thing is I always try to establish.
And it's great that those mirrors now can fold in so you know there's nobody driving in that vehicle.
True.
That's a big plus.
True. So I try to establish eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a vehicle starting to move out or maybe pull out in front of me and I cannot establish eye contact or facial contact with the driver, the next thing I look at is the wheels of the car, the front wheels. I look for them to be turning or, you know, turning of the steering wheel or just rotating, starting to move. Those are extremely helpful signs. It gives you about 1 or 2 seconds heads up. Also, if there's a car driving parallel to you, if it's going to cut you off and it doesn't see you, if you're in their blind spot, if you're like in that meter or two where you're not in their side window, but you're also not in their rear view mirror, there is a risk, and this happens. This is one of the more common accidents, collisions, is that...
Crashes. They're all crashes.
Yeah, you get sideswiped.
Right.
So you should know that going in. If you're on a bike, you think about these things.
Right.
And if you are next to a car that you know has high likelihood of not seeing you, that you're in their blind spot,
right,
you always pay attention to their front wheels,
right,
because the wheel will turn before the car starts turning.
Right.
I mean, this is common sense.
So now, do you know some special maneuvers that you can do at the on the bike to do like your quick stop?
The easiest thing is just to stop. I mean, you can also always obviously, you know, jump the curb if you need to.
Right. So I took some of the smart classes through Bike Easy,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I was already bomb diggity cyclist coming from the Netherlands, having learned in elementary school, you know, how to follow the rules of the road. But I really learned a lot, including some of these maneuvers that you can do that help you decrease those crashes. If you're on your bike and you know you need to brake really hard, mm-hmm. you want to decrease the weight where you are, and you pretty much want to move your body weight behind and put your belly on the seat, and so you can stop much faster because you shifted the weight back. So while you're braking, you move your behind. You couldn't probably do that because you have all your delivery right there. But if you don't have that, you should be able to move your whole body like you're ending with your belly on the seat, and you're making a quick stop. The other one, like, think about when you're riding and you don't want to hit the front wheel on a rock or a pothole because it might really...
So you pop the front wheel up.
So, well, what you can do also, you can make a really quick maneuver where your front wheel can go around the rock, and so maybe your back wheel will hit it, but at least you still have control of the bike. So similarly, when you make that really quick movement with your handlebars, instead of making that really quick movement, when you make that quick movement but just kind of on one side, what it will do, it will lay down your bike. And so you're going to steer towards the people that are about to cut you off, and you will lean your bike almost 45 degrees on the side, and then you will have to steer yourself out of it so you can make a 90 degree angle turn, and potentially you might slide, but you're not going to get T-boned by that car. And so those are maneuvers that you really have benefit when you practice those on a regular basis. They're hard, like the one to trying to make that 90 degree. It's easiest to learn that when you kind of go down a driveway where you already have a little bit of momentum and just kind of feel how you can kind of lean that bike, because it is so not natural. But it's kind of what motorcycles do when you are seeing them in the races, right? Like your wheel can keep a lot of traction on the road and to take those corners. But that's scary stuff. Anyway, I learned that through Bike Easy. They do like grant-based classes and teach this to people. So if you are like thinking like that's super cool, their website is bikeeasy.org.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them because they do that annual bike competition of see who bikes the most miles.
Did that a couple of years ago. Yeah, they haven't done it.
They don't do that
anymore. We did it a couple of years ago. That was an Australian company that does that. I think they are still active. Bike Easy, which is using their platform to get a lot more awareness in this 1 month when we kind of did Bike Month. But the company that's doing that, I think they still do that year round. And I like their concept. And they had some big prizes. Like, you have pretty much the whole year, and I think you're getting a lot of points for bikes, for miles ridden and trips taken. But you get a lot of points when you can get other people to start cycling, and especially if they haven't really cycled before. So even if they take one ride, you'll get a lot of points. And I think a couple of years ago, I think their main prize was 2 tickets to go to New Zealand, you know. So that's kind
of... They had all these leaderboards with different categories of things you can do. I feel like I kind of cheated because 1 year I signed up. When I learned about it while I was just doing my job. So I would do bicycle delivery, but I would record the rides.
Yeah. I think that's fair. You should have benefit from it.
Yeah.
Like you were thinking you should only ride to work and then when at work.
Or maybe recreation. I don't know if their goal was...
No. The goal was to get as many people biking.
Yeah. So I was in the category of total number of miles per day over a course of 30 days. I was way up there.
Yeah.
Just because I work every day.
Yeah,
so
that's cool. I've been up in some of those numbers for like the amount of trips, because I take my bicycle and I go to work. And then I take my bicycle and I go to lunch. And then I go back to work. And then after work, I go visit a friend. And then I got to go to the store. And then I maybe go here. And then I come home. And it's a lot of 10-minute rides and lots of points.
Yeah.
And the whole idea was, you know, because there were people cycling at that time that were like going 50 miles, right? But if you're on the levee, nobody's going to see you. That's not going to promote awareness. You know, we need more people in traffic so that people recognize that they shouldn't be distracted drivers.
To be fair, what I've noticed, because I've been cycling now as my primary transportation for 9 years. When I'm in New Orleans proper, mid-city, uptown, downtown, even Ninth Ward along St. Claude, cars generally understand that there's a bicycle on the road. When I leave the city and I'm in Metairie or along the levee, and then I go along Kenner or the West Bank, if I take the ferry and beyond Algiers, if I'm in Gretna, West Wego, I go on these bike rides sometimes. I feel a distinct difference in driver awareness, and expectation that there's even a cyclist on the road. And
right.
I feel like I don't belong.
Right.
Which I'd never do in New Orleans in any part of town.
That's why I like my cycling here. I'm considering commuting to Elmwood by bicycle. And I've done it before. It is not necessarily a pleasant ride. But I was thinking, if I'm going to do that consistently, it would be nice to be able to have an electric bike. You were mentioning your regular power, pedal power. Have you ever considered using that? Or have you thought about going to a place and have this job where it's not so stinking hot as here?
I don't see myself leaving this town anytime soon for all kinds of reasons. As far as an electric assist bike, like an Aventon, where they have a shop on Camp Street in the CBD, I would totally consider it. If I wouldn't say no to the experience if somebody let me test ride their electric bike or maybe even take it out for a day. I'm just not very enthusiastic to get one for myself. Part of the reason I like cycling as a lifestyle and a job is because I do have to do all the work and I do have to stay physically fit. So I'm not looking for it to be assisted easier. I'm looking for it to get easier for my body to do. So if it's very hot and humid and a heat index of 110, I want to potentially suffer through that. And then it becomes easier. It's only going to get more challenging from here, I feel like. I feel like every year it's going to get hotter.
It's going to get hotter. This was the first time in ever that I turned the AC on in February.
Yeah. I feel like people always say, my God, this is the hottest year on record. Like that's the default of it's so hot.
No, that's not true, because last year I did not burn my hand on the door, but the year before I burned my hand when I try to open my front door.
Yeah, but when people just say that, like this is disgustingly hot, I'm always like, well, actually this is as cool as it's ever going to be. My attitude is, you know, turn it around, and the sooner you acclimate, I guess that's the right word. Acclimate, train. If you're thinking of biking, even recreationally or as transportation, but you have an issue with the heat, that issue, unfortunately, is not going to go away.
Yeah, and hydrate.
And the sooner you start, the better. Not only are you going to train up, but if every year is a little bit more challenging than the prior year, then there's no time like the present to get trained up for the future.
So, I mean, this is, you saw me and we were dealing with some parking issues, but I was borrowing an electric bike from a friend to feel how it was, because I was like, if I have to go to Elmwood and haul my stuff and it's going to be raining, it's going to be nicer if I would have a little bit of a pedal assist. And so I'm trying to figure out how it feels on an electric bike where either the battery is in the front stem or if it is in, I've seen electric bikes where the weight is in the stem tube versus in the front one, or I've seen it where it is like right under the package carrier, like the pannier in the back. And so I was kind of wondering how that would affect the maneuvering of the bike. But then my friend rode his regular bike, and so I really went super slow, and it was kind of annoying. Like, you know.
Did you feel the assist?
Oh, super easily. Yeah, super easily. And you can kind of change through these different settings, and that was fun. But feeling kind of that power in the bike, that makes me want to go fast. And I've had it on some of those blue bikes where I feel I'm going to make choices that I don't make now, right? Like I take kind of back roads where I know there's potholes. I'm okay with that. Kind of bunny hop some of those. It's kind of doing like off-routing. But when I can go that fast, I want to go on smooth roads. And most of the time, those are more traveled by heavier pieces of vehicles like cars. And so I feel it's like a double situation. Anyway, I was then wondering, looking at, and then there was some talk about me maybe working Clearview. So it was like, how would I get there? Would I, you know, take Palmetto and then go through Metairie Road and then kind of go towards Rosa, get under the interstate and then take Veterans? And people are like, are you crazy? We should take Veterans. I'm like, it's three lanes. I can take the whole lane. Mm-hmm. You know, if I go fast, you can almost go a decent speed where people have time enough to see you, to merge. You know, nobody has to, like, really stay behind you and get stuck. And
I feel like that Clearview area by the mall and the, what is that, the expressway across Lake Pontchartrain, I feel like that's the most challenging part
like
of
Causeway?
Causeway. I feel like that's the most challenging part of town to safely get to from New Orleans.
Even with the traffic changes that they made since they did all those big repairs and stuff? Because I know that the reason why they put all that money to get that I-10 to change that whole Veterans Causeway intersection was, I think it was one of the fifth worst interstates intersection in the whole United States. Wow. That's how terrible it was, like crash rates. Of course, I don't know if that's the people just don't know how to drive here.
I feel like when I worked in the mid-city area here, I would go to Lakeside quite a bit, where the yacht club is,
mm-hmm.
And out to UNO. That's all great. But crossing over into Jefferson Parish always seemed very tricky to me.
Yeah.
Whereas Harahan and basically being Riverside of I-10, you know, you can be on Lakeside of I-10 or Riverside of I-10. I've always felt that that was easier.
Right.
And I do that trip a lot. I go to Harahan quite a bit. I go to Best Buy.
Uh-huh.
Because we don't have a Best Buy here.
Right.
So I go there no problem anytime I need to on a bicycle.
Right.
And I was going to ask you, like, what is your, if you're going to bike to Harahan, what is your preferred
route? So I was thinking to probably cutting over and then taking a little bit of the river just because it's pleasant. In the past, when I had to go to Jeff Highway campus and the hospital, I would go through, Holly Grove,
mm-hmm.
and then cut over and take a little bit of Jefferson Highway around Bicycle World, and it was just exciting. But I only did that when I was short on time, and then kind of cut over to the other, and it wasn't really that bad.
For me, it's Levee,
uh-huh.
and River Road, but particularly the Levee Trail over the River Road all day, every time.
Yeah.
The longer I can stay on that.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And safe.
And then you cut through like St. George's in the back?
Yeah, it's where I need to go. So let's say I need to go to Harahan to the malls there.
Right.
To the AMC. Yeah. So
yeah.
I would literally go as far as I can and then go up perpendicularly on what are they called? It's called Captain or forgot the name of the roads there. But basically by Huey P. Long Bridge.
Yeah.
Where all the garages, auto mechanics.
Right.
And even there, once I cut up into Harahan, I feel less safe than I do in New Orleans.
Right.
That's why I like to stay on the Levee trails as long as possible.
Right. Now, the interesting thing is that Jefferson does have a bicycle master plan. So maybe in the long run, we do see some changes.
Yeah. What I can say for now is the roads are wide, typically.
Right. But that makes people go faster than they really are safe to do. And then, of course, the question is, if cars are not safe going in the city, going that fast, why can they go as fast as they can go?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking about changing of the season and stuff like that. So here's my PSA for today, y'all. Are you prepared for hurricane season? I bet it's going to start sooner than June. If you can't leave or choose to stay, you know, because if we get a bunch of storms, you might not be able to go all the time. Store at least a week's worth of water, a gallon per person per day, and a corresponding amount of ready-to-eat food. Stock up on flashlights, battery packs, and chargers. Get an emergency, rechargeable, or battery-powered radio, basic first aid kit, and tools to make emergency repairs. And this was another community service reminder from the station dedicated to human rights and social justice, 102.3 FMWHIV. We honor independent voices. We are not a radio station with a mission. We are a mission with a radio station. And I want to see more butts on bikes. So, Vlad, I'm super excited that you're here talking with me about it. So, you've been in New Orleans quite a while. You've been in Jimmy John's before for like 9 years. So, that's a lot of cycling. Did you do all this kind of work when you were living elsewhere? Or what made you...
So I moved here from Texas, and I moved here in 2008, and I had no adult cycling experience at all since high school, where I had like a classic Huffy 10-speed. So I would say the first half of my adult life, no cycling at all. I was very much into sports cars. I had a Toyota MR2 with a manual transmission.
I have no idea what that looks like.
It's like a tiny Ferrari.
Okay.
It's in looks.
Okay.
Not in price.
Okay.
But it's a rear. It's a two-seater with a rear engine, mid-rear drive two MR2. That's why it's called that. So anyway, did not get into bikes until 2017, which is about half the time that I lived here. So I did a lot of walking. I did a lot of streetcar. I had a dog. We would go on long walks. There came a time that I needed a new job, and I lived uptown in the Maple Street area. And on a complete lark, I walked into the Jimmy John's, and I was like, let me just try this biking thing. At this point, I was already in my early to mid-40s.
Wow.
So like that's an important thing. A lot of people look at me and they're like, you know, well, it's good for you, Vlad. You know, you're in shape and you're athletic and all this, but that was not the case. I was just in reasonably good walking shape. No skateboarding, nothing like that. Needed a job, and just on a complete whim, walked into the Jimmy John's and I got hired. And I had an old bike that I rarely used. It wasn't very good. And then I upgraded pretty quick once that broke down, which didn't take long, like only like 2 months for that bike to break down. I got a really nice bike that was stolen. So you just learn, you get this hard school of hard knocks along the way. You learn everything. You just, you learn to get in shape. It was very painful in the beginning. And when I started, it was April, so like mid to spring, and it got warm very quickly and got humid. And I was not in cycling shape at all the first year. And I just kind of, needed the job and just powered through it. And every year has been easier.
Right.
So
do you carry things to fix a flat?
Does
that happen a lot?
I
feel that you get more flats when you don't participate where cars ride and have to kind of be in the gutter where all the stuff lays.
So uptown, we have the college campuses, and they throw the parties around Tulane on Broadway. There's a lot of glass on the road. I would get a lot of flats in the first couple of years. I always carry a tool bag. I have it with me right now. Anytime I go cycling, I feel that I'm risking if I don't have some rudimentary tools to at least fix a flat. What I found helps a lot, one thing very obvious, one less obvious. I cannot stress the importance of armored tires, so gator skins or anything that anybody wants, but it's armored reinforced with nylon or Kevlar. Not the cheapest brand, which I don't want to name.
Right. So people also have said that if you don't have that and you have a flat and you need to fix it and you need something as enforcement, a dollar seems to have the same very sturdy material that might work like that. So you could also line your tire with a bunch of money, bunch of dollar bills.
Dollars. Or you could have an old tube. Don't throw away. One bike mechanic told me, don't throw away your old torn, ripped, punctured inner tubes, because they can be cut with scissors and used as a liner inside.
Yeah.
Even electric tape is good. Like, after a while, your tire is going to have holes in it. There might be tiny holes, but you'll be changing a lot of tires if every time there's a complete through and through tiny
right.
puncture. If you change, I mean, tires are like 50 to 80 to 100 bucks, and I'm of the opinion that don't get rid of a tire that has a lot of tread just because you rolled over some glass and now it has a hole in
right.
one area.
Now, I do have to say, we can do some effort to reduce getting a flat. When you ride through a piece of glass, most often that glass is not all the way into your tire. Taking it out from your tire to prevent it, because most of the time it's you that's keep on cycling mm-hmm. is now driving it through the tube. So when you go through glass, it is maybe worth stopping and taking off some of those out.
Absolutely. And something you'll notice, just from what you're saying, you've probably heard that you start hearing the sound of the glass every time it hits the pavement. It's a rhythmic sound.
Right.
And I've gotten used to like catching it.
Yeah.
When I started biking, I didn't know what that was. I'm like, what's making that noise, you know, every fraction of a second? And then I get a flat.
Yeah.
And then I would forget about it and it would happen again. But now, once I start hearing a rhythmic clicking, that means something is sticking out of my tire. And I need to stop and inspect it and remove it.
Right.
So the other thing that really helps, and I've learned over time, and my number of flats has gone down significantly, is inner liners. I swear by them. I tell anyone at work who gets a flat, the first thing I ask them is, do you have inner liners? Which are usually not even nylon. They're usually some sort of just like flexible film plastic material. Inside the entire tube, sometimes even doubling over, whereas there's overlap. And usually that'll be where you have a hole.
Right.
So if you have a hole in your tire and you're going to overlap your liner, put that over the problem area. My flats have gone down, even in places where there's a lot of glass on the road, it's gone down probably 90%. Just from having a tire
right.
liner in a tire.
Right.
So now what I do is I buy an armored tire. And then when I get my first puncture, I start using a tire liner inside that tire.
Yeah.
And I've been happy.
Additionally, people get flat tires when they don't have enough air pressure. And
pinch flats.
And then, yeah, you get those snake bite flats where mm-hmm. your tire gets pinched between the rim and the hard object. Like a lot of people maybe bumping up onto the curb and then get a flat tire, and those are not easy to fix.
No,
those are really tires
usually that,
the tube needs to go.
Yeah, usually the tire is maybe okay, but the tube is, when you look, it's shredded.
Yeah,
it's usually, like you said, snake bites. It's a pair of tears.
Yeah,
usually. And it's usually
versus a puncture where you can put a little patch on there.
Absolutely. And I've gotten really good at patching too. It's almost like a hobby. Like some people hate it. They're like, they'll change their inner tube immediately.
I don't like it at all.
I like the challenge of patching. I have noticed that when the heat is summertime and it's 100 degrees and up, and the asphalt heat is like 150 degrees, like even more than heat index, because it's like it's a stovetop.
Right.
Patches do not hold. So, so even though I pride myself on being really good at patching,
right? You only use your patch tubes in the winter time.
In the winter, fall, spring, but in the summer, I used to do it, and they would fail. They would fail, and then I noticed that it's not my technique. It's literally the weld is not holding. The glue is not holding on the pavement heat.
Right. Climate change.
So that's my advice. People who patch, you're going to have worse results here.
In potentially.
The summer.
I will, what I tend to do is I will fix a flat and then put a tube in that I already used and that I already patched in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that's greatly patched. And then I will then fix the other tube, and then once it's fixed, I put it in a box and have a flat tire. I have to say, I don't carry a bunch of stuff with me. When I have a flat tire, I'm just going to lock up my bike and I will get home a certain way, and then I will get the car and I'll put it on the bike rack or bring it to the shop, depending on how far away I am. And then I got a couple of extra bikes, and then I tend to ride another bike, you know.
How many bikes do you have, if I may ask?
Too many. I have two bikes in the Netherlands still, mm-hmm. and then I have one tandem. I have one bike for kid for visitors, and then I have two regular bikes. I have now one on loan, and I had a nice one that got stolen.
Yeah.
So now I'm well, if you're listening to the show on a regular basis, you know that I've been always contemplating my next bike. But you know, how much space can you get?
I'm fortunate enough. I live, landlady gave me her shed, and I turned it into a bike shed. It used to be a tool shed, and now it's my personal bike shed.
So how many bikes are in there?
So right now there's 5 bikes in there.
Wow.
Three of them are usable. Okay. One of them is actually at the bike shop. One I rode here. One is in a bike suitcase because I just learned recently that you can get hard shell, full frame bike suitcases that can be loaded onto baggage claim or into a Greyhound bus or even, you know, taken inside a streetcar if they treat it as luggage. So I've got one of my bikes disassembled right now. My goal is to be able to have bikes so that when I have friends that want to go cycling with me, just recreationally, I can just put them on one of my bikes and we can just go riding together.
This is why I have a tandem. It's great because if you ride on the tandem with a visitor or with a guest, they can kind of look around and you don't have to worry about them not seeing the potholes.
Do you ever put them in the front as the captain?
No. Let them. I be the pilot.
What is it? It's called
the pilot and the stoker.
And the stoker.
Yes, let me be the pilot. Yeah, this was fun. We're almost at the at 8 o'clock. The Blues Crusade will be here next on the radio. Vlad, I wanted to thank you so much for this conversation today about all things cycling. I learned so much more. I like some of your suggestions on how to manage those crazy people that you encounter. And someone always said, like, as people, we are predators, and we kind of need to trust on the fact that our eyes will pick up movement and, you know, see the shine and reflection in the cars. And it sounds like you're applying a lot of that, and it's been working well for you. So thank you so much. Come by anytime to chat about your biking experiences.
All right, I'd love to be back. Thank you.
And what I'm going to do while we're changing out, I'm going to play the song "The Bicycle Race." This is from the Lounge Kittens, featuring some heavy metal truants. I thought you will entertain yourself with that while we are leaving. So you've been listening to Outspoken, y'all, here on WHIV 102.3. 102.3 FM. All right, you guys, have a good evening.
Thank you.
My bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle.
I want to ride my bike.
I want to ride my bicycle.
I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bark,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say hey man.
Jaws was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Of course I like Star Wars. It's just part of the lyrics.
You say Rose.
I say Royce.
You say God.
Give me a choice.
You say Lord.
I say Christ.
I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman. All I want to do is bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle.
I want to ride my bike.
I want to ride my bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle. Races are coming your way,
so forget all your duties. Oh yeah,
fat bottom girls, they'll be riding today,
so look out for those beauties. Oh yeah,
on your marks, get set, go.
Yatta-da.
You have to die, a
bicycle race, bicycle race, bicycle race.
Bicycle, 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 I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle.
Yeah, da 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 da.
Coke.
I say Kane.
You say John.
I say Wayne.
Hot dog.
I say Cool It Man.
I don't want to be the president of America.
You say smile.
I say cheer.
Cartier.
I say please.
Income tax.
Jesus, I don't want to be a candidate for Vietnam or Watergate, because all I want to do is...
That's it. Leave it there.
Leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
Gotta be the Blues Crusade with Pearl. Right there on WHIV 102.3 FM New Orleans. You never know what she might be playing. She's so cool.
Yeah.
Strangest dream.